Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's December 17th, 2012, 8 days until Christmas. Well, I'm excited about today's special guest in the studio with me, but before I introduce him, and this has been a long time coming, Ken, because I've known you for at least, I guess, 14 years since the Singing Men began in the summertime of 1999. But before I formally introduce you, let's see, I got a couple things. We've got two different prize drawings, a couple different announcements, and then I want to open up with a special scripture that is dear to your heart. So let's begin with the first announcement. This Friday, everyone, the Singing Men of GNN will be opening up the women's basketball game, singing the national anthem, and tickets, I think, are $5, and you can call the U of I box office and talk to Rose, 333-5404, and $5, you can come on out. It's at 7 p.m. at the U of I Assembly Hall. It'll be a great time to gather. Wear your orange or orange and blue and hear the Singing Men of GNN open up with the national anthem. And so I'm looking forward to that. And also, Ken, I don't know if you know this yet, but the Assembly Hall has asked us to open up for the Globetrotters on Thursday, January 10th. So that's about a little less than a month away. More to say about that in the coming days. But thank you, God, for the Singing Men of GNN and all
Do we get to do sing-alongs and dance?
No, you know what? I did ask them. Oh, okay. I said, you know, I did that. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands and then dribble the ball, shoot a three. And then I said, we also did the G-L-O-B-E, G-L-O-B-E. G-L-O-B-E, Globetrotters was their name. Oh, there was a team of superstars. Anyways, that, not that they said, no, please, Mark, don't do that again. But they did say they have a different opening show beforehand. Ah. So we're just going to do the national anthem.
Oh, I was so looking forward to that.
Yeah, you wanted to see me be the song leader again.
G-L-O-B-E, oh, yes.
Yeah, that was a classic.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, never maybe to be done again. let's see. The Rabbi Jesus series that began this past Friday night. Thank you, God, for the whole room full of people that turned out. I forget how many seats Jason set up, but every seat but a couple. So I told him, hey, you need to have more faith. Had you put up more chairs, there would have been more people. But if we seated them, they came, and it was great. And our next in the continuing series of the Rabbi Jesus will be on Friday night, the 28th, at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Pastor Jason Schiffel, I think he taught almost an hour and a half straight. It was a fantastic time. Everyone that attended certainly enjoyed it. And so we're going to continue in that six-part series. So you all are welcome to come out on Friday night, December 28th. And that's from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Community Free Church in Mahomet. If you need more information, you can call the station at 217-367-7777. Okay, one more announcement. Tomorrow, I'm excited to share Pei Tang. He's a friend of Huey Freeman. Many of you know Huey from his work with the Decatur Herald and Review. He was the religion editor for a number of years, and now I think he covers prison stories and a variety of other things. I'm not quite sure what desk he heads up now, but he introduced me to his friend Pei, who's from China and came to the United States in his mid-30s, and how he had a transformational meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful testimony on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. That's tomorrow, heard at 7:32 a.m. with a 7:32 p.m. re-airing. That's 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners, and the program will also be archived once broadcast at greatnewsradio.org. All right, Ken, before I formally introduce you, I asked you one of your favorite verses, life verses, and you said, well, Mark, there's so many of them. Actually, the most current one that God has really placed on my heart is out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So let me read that, and then we're going to talk a little about where God has you, how instrumental you've been with the Singing Men of GNN from my point of view, some of the things God's leading you to do and be involved in the days ahead, your marriage, your testimony. So we're going to give you some time just to share some God-honoring stories of what a great God we serve. Reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Hey, before I ask you why you chose that verse, Ken, I want to publicly honor and state a few things. You've been with the Singing Men from the very beginning, literally, I think, the second rehearsal these past 14 years. You caught the vision, I think, almost from the very beginning, especially the passion to reaching out to the unchurched, for those that maybe don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that haven't entertained the idea that God loves them and cares for them. You've sang at all 14 Christmas concerts, and that's one of your favorites because we know how many of the general public go through that food court, as was the case this past Saturday, filled the food court. We had those people lined up in the overflow, if you will. We filled all the seats. It was a festive audience. So,
it's doing the work of an evangelist. I mean, it's a very secular environment. And yet we have no restrictions on presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah, and it was so great. I mean, it was a time of worship.
Absolutely.
And thank you for that solo you did on O Holy Night. And I think the combination of your voice and then when you kneeled down, it just, you did that at the Danville Prison and you did it again at the mall. And I think that's kind of one of those where it takes people's breaths away.
You think they were concerned I was going to fall down?
Yeah. I was more concerned about you getting back up.
Oh, yeah, well, me too.
But between that and then that time when Vic holding his baby child singing the Joseph song, and then when we had the newborn baby also with the woman when we sang Mary Did You Know, I mean, three powerful different visuals, but it was a great concert. The Singing Men did fabulous. We appreciate all those that came out.
And by the way, I'd like to publicly thank the management of Marketplace because they really made it very hospitable for us. They always are, but this year they took out a bunch of tables, put in a bunch of chairs. I mean, practically every chair was filled.
That reminds me, please, many of you, write Marketplace Mall or contact them and thank them for allowing us. This was 14 straight years that they've invited us to continue to sing in the food court, and we, like Ken mentioned, clearly present the gospel message. We clearly elevate the Lord Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us, and we've had that privilege to proclaim that each and every year. So if you think of it throughout the day or the next few days, contact them. Their number is in the phone book, or just write them a note and say, hey, I was at that concert. Thank you so much for allowing them to sing. Thank you for doing that. It really blessed me. You know what to say. But all it takes is maybe one cantankerous person, and that could jeopardize the possibility of us singing in the future. So if you inundate them with thanks and gratitude, I think that'll go a long way.
Tell them you also spent a couple $100 while you were there.
Yeah, tell them you did lots of shopping and you appreciate all the radio spots that Great News Radio mentioned Marketplace Mall. So do that for us. Well, Ken, as mentioned in this Ephesians passage, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Well, you're a believer in that. And knowing that you've read through the Bible, I think you're coming up on your 35th time. You're familiar with God's word, with God's leading, with Him preparing special works for you. But you didn't maybe always know that because you grew up in kind of an environment where it took you some years to really know about that personal relationship with God. So kind of take us through some of that narrative.
Okay, well, let me work backwards a little bit from this particular verse here. I think this is maybe a verse for a little bit more of a mature Christian in that I just wake up every day and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? And I'm not looking for a works righteousness here. What I'm looking for here is for the Lord to say, hey, this needs to be done, and you're the guy that's in the place that needs to do it, and so I want to be His servant and get it done. Because there are obviously things that need to be done in the kingdom to bring the second coming of Christ. Most of the folks in your audience would probably recognize me as a singer from the Singing Men of GNN, and that's probably my most noticeable talent anyway, because I get out there and grab a microphone all by myself a lot. But as you might imagine, when I was a child, the music started showing early. My mother was a music teacher and a pianist and a singer herself. So I probably sang my first solo in church. I'm thinking it's about seventh grade. He Can Turn the Tides and Calm the Angry Seas. I still remember it. And then all the way through my high school years, I was asked in the summers when I was home from school, went to Culver Military Academy. When I was home, the churches around town would ask me to come in and sing. And that went on through in college. And for years after college, then I just really didn't quite understand this God I was singing about. And I finally was invited to Nazarene Church on the west side of Champaign by a guy who I constantly tell him he was doing the work of an evangelist. All he did was invite me to choir practice, but I did come. And it was a little family church, and frankly, they just loved me into the kingdom. And I finally, the Lord unstopped my ears, and I understood I was supposed to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and went forward to the altar in that church and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I guess one of the messages I would have to parents is make sure your children understand that they're going to church, but they really need to have that personal relationship with Christ and what that really means, because that is the essence of Christianity. It's not just going to church. It's not just following the rules or not following the rules or the things that you shouldn't do and the things that you should do. It's about what does Jesus tell you every day through the Holy Spirit that you should be doing with your life to be fruitful.
And I'm also thinking your dad, he was not a believer for all of his life.
Right. Actually, my father never ever heard me sing in church because in my youth, he never darkened the door of a church. In his later years and through the ministry of my wife and daughter, he eventually, about 6 weeks before he died, he actually accepted Christ as his Savior. And it was because he had a family who loved him into the kingdom, even though he did about everything just the opposite that he could do.
Now, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about Sweet Lou. Actually, the singing men call her Saint Lou because she's been married to you almost 40 years. I think it's 40 years this July.
Yeah, luckiest woman in Muhammad, 40 years.
And she hears it every day, how
well,
lucky she is.
You know, I'm in sales, and, you know, you want to repeat your message until people believe it. So, you know, it's worked pretty well for her.
Well, tell us a little about what you do, and I know you have three children, and tell us also something special about Lou.
Okay. Lou is actually a very accomplished musician herself. She was the choral director at Centennial High School when I first met her. I jokingly say she was a pianist looking for a tenor to accompany. So we actually spent some years part-time out on the road as song evangelists. And, you know, she's a woman of faith. But, in fact, she needed to have her personal relationship with Christ assured to her in prayer at our house one night. I have no doubt that she was a believer prior to that time, but with the laying on of hands, it just was her defining moment. We do have three wonderful children. She was a wonderful mother and really did a great job of raising three kids. Kendall, who's a software programmer in his mid-30s, lives in Champaign, and we just got done incubating a software company for him that he owns. We sell a piece of software that makes computers more usable to folks with visual impairments, and he has a couple of patents pending in that. He only jokingly says that this is my father who taught me everything I knew about computers in 1992. I had actually gotten a subscription to AOL Online in the early 90s when I had a consulting business, and I told him, I said, I'd like you to look into this because I think there's going to be something about this online world, and I just don't have time to look at it. And he became a real expert in it. Then our younger son is in his early 30s. He's in Chicago, lives in Wrigleyville, and works downtown, and he's on his way to being the youngest vice president of a large insurance company up there. He's in the surety side of it, does risk management. Our daughter is a history teacher and is certificated also to be an administrator, and she's the only one of the three who's married. Her husband is Jose Gonzalez. He's a young man who's a Chicago native, and so they're very happily married and live near the North Shore, just south of Evanston.
You sound like a proud father that has prayed many years, and I know that's been a role that you've had with the Singing Men of GNN, and we've actually seen some miraculous answers to prayer over the years. When did God first kind of emphasize the importance of prayer in your life?
You know, it's interesting you ask that because I was just this morning going through some of my prayer lists, and it went back to actually, I suppose in relative terms, fairly recently, to 2003 when I first really started tracking this. And I always considered myself to be the gift that I would have would be closest to being an evangelist. And I found that it was very disarming, especially for non-believing people, if they would tell you about their problems and you would just say, well, would you mind if I pray for you? I've got a list, and I pray for people every day. And some of them will even allow me to pray for them right there. And then I do put them on my list, and I pray for them for what their issue is. And then I keep contacting them. I'll call them like a month after I put them on. Then I'll call them like 3 months. And then I get them on this cycle where it's every 6 months or so until their problem is solved or there's other resolution from that. But I have a prayer list, and I have a praise list. And I would praise God today to say that there have been so many healings and wonderful things that have happened to the lives of people I prayed for that my praise list is longer than my prayer list.
And I know that goes back to almost the first weeks with the Singing Men of GNN, and we've seen just through your prayer ministry and you taking the initiative, I know many times you've brought your anointing oil, and even on that one trip, I know we've shared this a time or two over the air with Carl Duderstadt. How about sharing that story?
We were in Naperville, and Carl had a seizure out at dinner with the host family. And they took him to an emergency room where they did, I don't know if it was a CAT scan or an MRI or whatever it was. But anyway, there was a definite dark nodule at the base of his spine, on his spinal cord. And so he came back and he says, well, folks, I guess I've got cancer. And so on the way home, about four or five of us laid hands on him. I did happen to have my oil with me, and we prayed over him and then prayed for him for several weeks after that. But 2 days after that, as I recall the timing of it, 2 days after that, he went into Carl down here and had the same tests run again, and there was no sign of that that spot. So we'll give God all the praise for that.
And that's been a regular practice with our Singing Men on Monday nights where we gather, and Carl Duderstadt or others will lead out in prayer, and we'll share prayer requests. And I know you've kept a list and prayed so faithfully for all the men. So I just appreciate that ministry work that you've had with the Singing Men.
If I could just say one more word of encouragement to people who are on do the prayers. Number one, have a praise list because it helps you. But the other thing is another fellow is Bill Poor, who has leukemia in the group. And he was supposed to be dead 2 years ago. And we've been praying for him. And it's also true on my prayer list, I have about four or five other people, and most of them were women, who were diagnosed with cancer and given drugs, experimental drugs, that said would keep them alive for 6 months, and they're still alive like 7 years later. So,
well, and some of the listeners may remember this would have been 4 or 5 years ago when I had my whole kidney stones and basically was going to have all the surgery, and I had a kidney stone on each side in both kidneys, and they were going to do the surgery. And after that Monday night being prayed over, going home, and I passed one right at home, I'm like, wow, that opens up one of my kidneys. And anyways, that averted the whole kidney stone intimate surgery that I didn't want to have. And, you know, it was after the Singing Men rehearsal that Monday night, coming home and passing one all on my own, no pain or anything. It was like, wow, there's a kidney stone there. So anyways, but the power of prayer, the power of God using our voices, the ways we've been able to present, even lately in the two prisons, the Taylorville prison and the Danville prison, where I think, I don't know if you heard the broadcast, but I was highlighting where you were out in the audience extending warmth and a welcoming spirit and just letting the guys know that, hey, we're no better than you in a sense. We're all fallen. We've all messed up, missed the mark. And yet I think the way you engaged with the guys and invited them to come up and sing with us was kind of that healing, that, I don't know, relational outreach that I think really encouraged and was a point used of God where it transitioned that whole concert into something that we're in this together. It was just really powerful. And you've been about bringing healing and hope to people. So let me, in our closing couple minutes, Ken, I just want to kind of give you the floor. You have a heart to reach people. So there might be somebody tuned in, a skeptic, somebody that's far from God. I want you to kind of speak truth into their heart, and then maybe somebody that's really blown it. Maybe they've known God, but they feel like they've disqualified themselves from service. What would you say to those two different camps?
Well, I'd say that we serve a wonderful Lord in Jesus Christ, and it doesn't make any difference if you're a guy like me that was around church pretty much his whole life but finally found the truth, or if you're someone who's walked away from him your entire life. He can help you change that desperation in your life and give you purpose and give you confidence in your eternal salvation. He can also help you if you go back and read Ephesians 2:10 on your own time. If you're coming to the Lord late in life, all you need to ask him is say, Lord, there's obviously somebody out there that needs me. to do something for you, what is it? Mm-hmm. And he can use you. And so you can be a useful instrument in the Lord's kingdom. Mm-hmm. I guess one other thing I would say, not for myself, but for the Singing Men of GNN, I think this whole prison ministry is an entirely new area of ministry that is, it's a real eye-opener if you've never been into one of these institutions. This is really a lost group of people. Some of them are believers, but lost individuals who really need the encouragement. And Mark has not asked me to say this, but I will tell you that it is a drain on the resources of the station for us to be doing these kind of things. So we are looking for some prayer partners and some sponsor partners to come on board with us to help us get into more and more of these prisons. And you're certainly welcome to come along with us when we do.
Yeah, we do that totally free of charge, and all the guys volunteer, but there are a lot of costs involved. And yeah, if we had a few different sponsors, we're going to be singing at the Decatur Women's Prison in the coming days, and maybe there might be a family or a business that says, hey, let me help underwrite some of the costs of the travel and the expenses and be a part of that. And there's lots of creative ways to assist this radio ministry. Well, thank you, Ken. Gosh, there's so much more to your story and so much more to share. And I do want to call out a couple prize winners.
Okay.
Three winners from our Rabbi Jesus Night. And just pick out the names.
So we've got a CD here, Finally Free.
Ken, I got gifts there, but just pull out the names, and then I'll attach the gifts to the people.
Okay. Debbie Kennedy and Daryl Kennedy of Gifford.
Okay, we'll figure out something for them.
Faith Johnson and Ralph Johnson of Champaign.
Great. We'll give them a book or a ministry resource.
Chris McConkie and Mike McConkie of DeLand.
Excellent. Thanks for filling out.
Or DeLand.
Yeah. Thanks for filling out those Voice of the Listener radio surveys. And let's pick three from the Marketplace Mall concert on Saturday.
Okay. This is Susan and Don. Is it Mither? M-E-I-T-H-E-R? From Champaign.
Okay. Another one.
And Barbara Withers from Paxton.
Excellent. Because we're running out of time.
All right.
Last one.
Gracie Valenciano. Oh, and Juan Valenciano, and they're from Danville.
All right. Thanks for filling out those Voice Listener Radio surveys. Well, thank you so much, Ken, for being here, and thanks for pulling out those Voice Listener Radio survey winners.
Thanks for inviting me.
I'll close out with the verse that Ken asked me to start the program with, one of his favorites, as a way for all of us to realize and connect with the fact that we are God's workmanship, and God has created some specific things for us to do, some good works, which he prepared for you and I to do, very specific things. So if you're alive today, he has a plan and purpose for your life, and he's created you unique and specific, and he has something special just that you can accomplish in your realm of influence. Reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow, what an exciting truth. What a liberating principle, in fact, when we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and wake up each morning saying, Lord, not my will, but your will. Make it clear. Orchestrate those divine appointments so I'll know how to proceed forward with kingdom work empowered by your Holy Spirit. Pray up those opportunities today, everyone, for God delights to work through those that are available. And be sure to tune in for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. You'll hear from Huey Freeman and his friend from China, Pei Tang. I think you'll be encouraged by his story. Thank you, Ken, for all your work with the Singing Men of GNN and your heart for evangelism and your prayer ministry and being faithful to be reading God's Word on a daily basis, something that we all should be a part of. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.